Public hearing is subdivision 2018-18, Cannon Property, Everett Clifton and Ally Cannon and Carl Freeman Companies.
This is a...
Mr. Chair.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to abstain from this.
Sorry.
Okay, let me ask you a question at this point. Are there going to be any other... Will you be abstaining from anything else this evening? Anybody else going to be abstaining? Do we want to push this back further in the agenda in the hopes that Mr. Hudson appears so that we can have at least as many commissioners as we can have? Because with only three commissioners, it'll have to be...
Right, or Mr. Hudson can listen to the tape, too. He could also do that.
All right,
so.
Yeah. 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 All right, then. All right.
Because I'm not sure that he's going to be here just the way the traffic sounds and where he is, so...
Just thought I'd check, Mr. Fuqua. Didn't mean to. Well, just in fairness, just want to make sure that we're as complete as we can be. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. This is a cluster ESDDOZ subdivision to divide 120.77 acres into 70 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. The properties are lying on the north side of Old Lighthouse Road, Route 54, and on the east side of Bennett Avenue, approximately 439 feet north of Old Lighthouse Road, Route 54. The tax parcels are District 533, Map 20, Parcel 20, Parcel 21, and Parcel 22, and District 533, Map 20.19, Parcel 97. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff would note for the record, this did go through PLUS, so there is a PLUS response. It also went through our TAC process, our Technical Advisory Committee. So we have comments from multiple divisions in DENREC, the Department of Ag, DELDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. We also have an exhibit booklet that was submitted for the record and a subdivision plan, and we also have three letters in opposition to this application. Thank you. And their concerns were mainly floodplain and drainage. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, then, Mr. Fuqua.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua, and I am representing the applicant, Carl M. Freeman Companies. With me seated in the front row here are Josh Mastrangelo, who is now the Senior Vice President of Development for Carl M. Freeman Companies, and Jim Willey and Lawton Myrick of George Miles and Buehr Engineering. As was stated, there was an exhibit booklet that was submitted for the record, and that does contain a summary of the proposed subdivision and some supporting documents, including the applicant's PLUS response, the environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report, and the Section 999C report of the subdivision ordinance. As stated, this is an application for an environmentally sensitive development area cluster subdivision. The development will consist of 70 single-family lots and recreational amenities. The land is located on the north side of Route 54 at Bennett Avenue, and that is approximately 1 mile west of the Route 54, Route 1 intersection in Fenwick Island. The site contains a total of 120.77 acres, but 83 acres consist of tidal and non-tidal wetlands. The wetlands surround a 35.65 acre parcel of uplands, and that, of course, is the area of development. The majority of the uplands have historically been in agricultural use. There is an additional 2 acres of uplands that front on Route 54. Those 2 acres are not part of this subdivision application, and they are not part of the 35.65 acres of upland that's included in the subdivision. The land was previously owned by Everett and Ally Cannon, who passed away in 2013 and 2015. The Cannons were deeded the property in 1968 from Mrs. Cannon's mother, Bessie Bennett, and the land had been in the Bennett family since 1901, over 117 years. And Mrs. Cannon was actually born in the old farmhouse that's on the site. During the decades that the Bennett family owned the property and farmed the property, as you know, the entire area surrounding their land has changed significantly into high-density residential development and numerous commercial uses. As I said, the proposed 70-lot subdivision will be located exclusively on the uplands portion of the site. None of the wetland areas will be disturbed or encroached upon. The land is zoned AR1 and is in the environmentally sensitive development area. It will be developed at the permitted AR1 density. The 70 single-family lots being proposed on the 35.65 upland acres results in a density of 1.96 slots per acre, which is less than the 2.18 lots per acre, which is permitted in the AR1 cluster in the environmentally sensitive district. As you can see from the board, the parcel is very unique in that it is basically a peninsula extending out into the Little Assawoman Bay and then surrounded by associated wetlands around the entire property. The central part of the property that's being developed is relatively high ground in that area. The general nature of the area is, I would describe as intense residential and commercial. To the east or left of the site is the to the east or right of the site is the residential and commercial areas of Fenwick Island, both the town of and the county portion of Fenwick Island. To the west or left is the Treasure Beach RV Park and Campground. To the south, which would be on the south side of Route 54, is extensive residential development, including the Cape Windsor development. At the site entrance from Route 54, at Bennett Avenue, there are two restaurants, the Papa Grande restaurant and Catch 54. There's a spa business, there's a water-related rental business, and there's the Fenwick Landing townhouse development. So the site is basically the last infill parcel in that general area. As to the details of the proposed development, under the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the property is located in the environmentally sensitive development area. As you know, that is one of the growth areas designated in the comp plan. The plan states that a range of housing types should be permitted in that zone, including single-family homes. Under the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, the land is zoned AR1. One of the stated purposes of the AR1 zone is to provide for low-density single-family residential development and recreational facilities. And detached single-family dwellings on individual lots are a permitted use in the AR1 district. As I said, the property is in the environmentally sensitive development overlay zone. The zoning code provides that in that zone, the permitted density shall be the allowable density of the underlying zoning district, which, as I said, is 2.18 lots per acre if central water and sewer are being utilized. And again, our density is less than that. The zoning code also provides that in the environmentally sensitive zone, clustering of single-family detached lots to a minimum lot size of 7,500 square feet is permitted with central water and sewer. This proposed subdivision will be served with central water. Central water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Artesian Water Company, a public utility company that holds a certificate of public convenience and necessity to serve the area. The site is located in the Sussex County Unified Sewer District. It will be served by county sewer, as is all of the surrounding development. The county engineering department has confirmed that adequate capacity is available for the proposed subdivision. Janelle, could you put the site plan up? There's a rendering, I think, if you can. It's a different exhibit. It's just a colored rendering.
That's all I got. That one?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
As to DelDOT, in accordance with DelDOT's development coordination manual, and based on the relatively small size of the development, Deldot will accept an area-wide study fee in lieu of a traffic impact study. Deldot did require a traffic operational analysis, or TOA, regarding the entrance, and that has been done. And based on the TOA, Deldot will require that Bennett Avenue be realigned so that it intersects with Route 54 opposite Monroe Avenue, which is on the south side of the road. Can you blow that up at all, Janelle?
Yeah, give me a minute.
Yeah, so again, in the front and the bottom right there, that's Bennett Avenue. Bennett Avenue currently has an angled intersection with Route 54. So what Deldot will require per the TOA is to basically straighten that out so that it meets Route 54 at a 90-degree angle. So as I said, this will be a 90-degree intersection, and it will replace the existing angled intersection. The new intersection will include dedicated left turn lanes on both the east and westbound Route 54, and a right turn lane on westbound Route 54, again, in accordance with Deldot requirements. The TOA recommended that the Route 54 Bennett Avenue, Monroe Avenue intersection be signalized. The TOA, again, we prepare the TOA and submit it to Deldot. The applicant has indicated to Deldot that it is willing to pay the full cost of that traffic signalization. And as you know, only Deldot has the authority to determine when a signal is warranted. So we can't put that in. Only Deldot can decide when they want to put it in, but we have indicated that we are willing to pay for the cost of it. The applicant will dedicate to Deldot additional right-of-way along Route 54 to provide a 40-foot right-of-way from the center line. And also will create a 15-foot permanent easement along the frontage right-of-way line for a shared use path, which, as you know, has become a standard requirement of Deldot. Within the development, stormwater management will be designed and constructed in accordance with DENREC regulations. It will be reviewed and approved by the Sussex Conservation District. The facilities will utilize best management practices and green technology to collect, store, and discharge stormwater in compliance with the DENREC regulations. And Janelle had mentioned there was someone expressing concern about drainage. Again, this site is totally surrounded by wetlands and water, and the stormwater management system, again, as you know, has to comply with DENREC regulations. There was a wetland delineation performed by Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources, Inc. As I mentioned earlier, the delineation determined that there were 82.63 acres of the site that are either tidal or non-tidal wetlands. The wetlands report and plan have been submitted to the Philadelphia District of the Corps of Engineers for jurisdictional determination. Now, as I stated, all of the development will be located on the 35.65 acres of contiguous uplands, and they are basically kind of located, well, they're located where you can see it right there. The upland buffers to the tidal waters and tidal wetlands meeting or exceeding the zoning code requirements will be provided. The majority of the uplands are at elevation of 4 to 5 feet and in the FEMA AE5 zone. A portion of the uplands has an elevation of 5 to 10 feet, and that actually is the highest elevation in the entire surrounding area. And that is in FEMA's X zone. Environmental Resources, Inc. confirmed with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that there were no federally listed threatened or endangered species or their critical habitat occurring on the site. And as I said, none of the wetlands are going to be disturbed or encroached upon. The site is located in the Indian River School District and in the Fire Protection Service area of the Roxana Volunteer Fire Company. As to the subdivision design, again referring to the site plan, as I said, the entrance will be from Bennett Avenue off of Route 54 with the realignment that I mentioned. The road realignment will again replace the angled intersection and create a safer entrance for the development, as well as for the customers of the existing businesses and the residents of Fenwick Landing. And of course, that entrance will be designed and constructed in accordance with LDOT requirements. The entrance to the subdivision itself is at the end, or the north end, of Bennett Avenue, and that is proposed to be a gated entrance. As you come into the development, the entering and exit lanes will be separated by a large landscaped area. That's the green area you can see between the southernmost lots. To the east of that, there's a little red thing that you can barely see, and that will be a kayak storage and launch area for residents of the community. That site right there is adjacent to a tidal cove that has access to the bay. And then as you continue into the development, the area to the north of the section I was just talking about is the core of the development. And that area contains 61 of the proposed 70 single family lots. The lot sizes in the development will range from 7,640 square feet to 18,956 square feet. The average lot size is about 10,730 square feet. That core area also contains the development stormwater management ponds, which you can see in blue. And then from there, continuing north, there are 9 additional lots located along the road. And Janelle, if you can slide that southward a little bit, we're just missing the tip. Yeah, that's good. And then if you continue past those 9 lots, it is proposed, if you go past those 9 lots, you can see some other yellow up there. I'm sorry about the scale of this. That is proposed to be the recreational amenity, and that would contain a pool building with restrooms, a deck, and a small swimming pool that would be elevated. It is also proposed, subject to DENREC approval, to construct a pier and 21 boat slips for use by community residents. There will not be a boat ramp, and there will not be sale of fuel. At the boat house or pool house, there will be approximately 10 parking spaces right at the building, and then there's additional on-street parking along the subdivision road. A fairly large portion of the eastern side of the development has existing riprap along the shoreline, and that will be repaired and stabilized where needed. The site design does include the 50-foot buffer zone from tidal waters and tidal wetlands, which is required by Section 115-193 of the zoning ordinance. The buffer does extend onto some of the lots that are closest to the tidal waters and wetlands, but that is permitted by ordinance, and that would be something that would be documented as part of the final part of the site plan approval. And again, as required by the ordinance, the buffer will be an area of natural or established vegetation, which will not be cultivated or cut. The recreational amenities and a portion of the subdivision road is located within the buffer, but that is permitted by ordinance. Those improvements are excluded by the zoning ordinance from the buffer zone regulation. And as I stated, none of the tidal or non-tidal wetlands are being disturbed, and that does result in 94 acres of open space of the parcel with incredible vistas for the homes and no interference with the wetlands. The subdivision streets will be private. They will be built to Sussex County standards with sidewalks on one side of the street. Streets will have curbs and gutters and appropriate non-intrusive street lighting. It's anticipated that the development would be constructed in one phase, and we are proposing or requesting that the recreational areas, other than the pier and slips, which are subject to DENREC permitting, the other recreational amenities would be completed prior to the issuance of the 40th building permit. The community will have detailed architectural guidelines addressing the style, materials, color, and location of all construction. And all construction in the development will be utilizing pilings, and that would include the homes in the FEMA X zone. The subdivision will have a homeowners association comprised of all lot owners that will be responsible for collecting assessments, enforcing the community covenants and architectural guidelines, and maintaining the development streets, entrances, landscaping, buffers, recreational areas, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. I do want to mention that this is a land use application, but the applicant is Carl M. Freeman Companies, and that company does have a 50-year history of developing high-quality residential communities in Sussex County, including Sea Colony, The Preserve, Bear Trap, and Americana Bayside. The company's track record, I think, speaks for itself, and in addition, the company has been a strong supporter of many county programs and operates the Freeman Stage at Americana Bayside, which brings cultural and musical opportunities to county residents. And I think Carl Freeman has an established record with Sussex County of high quality development and community involvement. With that stated, I will submit to you proposed conditions and findings, and that will conclude our presentation, other than any questions you may have.
All right, sir. We thank you, and we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
You just said that all the homes will be built on pilings?
Yes.
Good, because they're going to be underwater otherwise. So.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm familiar with Fenwick Island at Nor'easter. That little end there is pretty wet. So I'm just curious about how the... So pilings would be...
Okay, now, do you have the scene on that exhibit?
I have two of them.
I'm not basing it on science, I'm basing it on 52 years in Sussex County.
Well, I don't disagree with what you said, but it would apply to that entire area, period. Not this site.
I think the part in the front, when I looked at that, that looked fairly dry.
That's the FEMA map.
That's the FEMA map? Thank you. Okay. And then you said you had a letter saying that there was no endangered species on there, because that...
Janelle, for the benefit of the public, could you just identify what the colors mean?
So the light pink is A, the peach color is AE, there's no green, so there's no AO, the bright pink is going to be VE. And those are all different floodplain, indicate that the properties are in the floodplain. And again, these are the FEMA maps we obtain from FEMA.
And again, the scale on here, you can't see it very well.
Can I just ask you another question, because I'm colorblind? Can you explain it to me in terms of elevations, like point in an area? I can kind of see like different shades of things.
So the different colors are going to have different elevations within them.
Well, like
I don't have
elevations.
The elevations, okay. Because the VE can have different elevations and the AE can have different elevations. So they could all have like VE4 and AE4. It has to do with the wind. Based on the wind impact to the water, which typically means there's a higher standard to be building within the VE. And there's a different standard when you build within the AE based on you need to be above the base flood elevation. And our FEMA maps that we have don't show the base flood elevation. If there's any development of any type within the floodplain, they do have to provide an elevation certificate indicating what the floodplain elevation is and that they are building above the base flood elevation.
And you're saying different at different locations in a given area, the floodplain elevation can change?
Correct. You can be in one floodplain category, but your base elevation could be one elevation and one property, one side of the property, and a different elevation on the other side of the property.
It's not going to be a whole lot different because water seeks its own level.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the FEMA levels that she's talking about, not the...
FEMA determines what the base flood elevation is on the properties.
Well, Mr. Fugere, if you're going to put them on pylons, can I just step in here just one time real quick on the flooding?
Maybe this will clear it all up for me.
If you're going to put them on pylons, do you have a base, a first floor elevation?
Denrick requires a certain elevation.
Both.
So, and it depends on what the base elevation is. So it could be one elevation for some of the lots and a different elevation for other lots. So the elevation can change, and they all just have to comply with the base flood elevation for which they are going to be built within. So my house could be in one elevation, somebody else's house could be, right next door could be in a different elevation, and we both have to meet the base flood elevation that our property is located within.
Well, I mean, I would just be curious, to me, from a simple layman's standpoint, if 54 at the entrance is at elevation 4, I don't know what the elevation is, if it's at elevation, if it's at a given elevation and it floods up to 1 foot above the road, then in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, that area right there is going to flood to about a 5 on a worst case scenario. But if it's at a 10 and it floods a foot, then it could be an 11. Does anybody know any of these elevations? I'd just like to get it. A general idea
all
in my head.
Those elevations are going to be determined. FEMA has determined them, or they have not been determined. And then if this application is approved, it's like any building that is built in the floodplain. And this happens in the planning office. There's the environmental planning manager, manager who does nothing but floodplain review. Well, it's one of the things, this main thing, that he does floodplain review. So he's reviewing every building permit that comes in to make sure they comply with the floodplain section of the code, which is the FEMA regulations that the county adopted. So if this is approved, every house will go through a floodplain review to make sure they comply with the floodplain and the base flood elevation. And they not only have to provide an elevation certificate at time of permit, they have to provide an elevation certificate at the time of a CO to make sure that what they built actually is what they did. So they actually have to do two different elevation certificates at the time of a permit and at the time of the CO to verify that the house and all of the structures have been built out of the floodplain.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I'm going to circle back around. I'm going to ask that question again after everybody does their presentation. Because okay, just from a practical standpoint.
Did Steve Marsh submit another exhibit that has a flood map? Because the flood map I have is much clearer.
Oops, sorry. Wrong application. Yeah, here it is. So this one actually shows the elevation and the...
That's still not the one.
Well, this is showing, this is AE.
Yeah, no, but this is the one I'm looking for.
There it is.
If you can reduce that a little bit.
I'll get there. There you go. Right,
I think this is a little clearer, although, Mr. Hopkins, I don't know, it may not help you if you're colorblind. This isn't going to help, but what this is showing are different flood zones under the FEMA map, and you can see the area Janelle's going around, and it is orange color, and that is the AE5 zone. And as you can see, everything in that area is pretty much in that zone. And then if you look right down toward kind of the core of our development, that's yellow, and that is one of the X zones. So when I mentioned that this is some of the highest ground in the area, it's because it's some of the highest ground in the area.
And what was that elevation? Do you know?
And if it's 5 to 10 feet.
Elevation 5 to 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's nothing in that area that's really in the X zone except that piece of property. Now,
that's the high.
That's the high, yeah.
You're saying that particular piece on that property is the highest thing?
The part that's yellow is the highest part of the property and the highest part of that whole area there. And what I was saying is with the FEMA maps, you have to build to FEMA requirements, which involves pilings, building above a certain number of feet above what they determine it to be. Actually, in that yellow area, you don't have to. You can actually build on the ground. And what I was saying is they will not be built on the ground there. everything is going to be built on pilings.
In other words, everything is going to be higher than 10.
I don't know what the number is. Yeah. It's whatever FEMA requires.
Yeah. That's not our requirement. That's set by FEMA maps.
Right.
And we have to enforce that through ordinances, because if we don't do that, otherwise it jeopardizes the county's ability for property owners to get flood insurance.
And in areas where you're required a certain height, the area below that can only be used for like parking
right.
or storage. It so can be no living space there.
So in a, from a practical standpoint, then, if it has that X area ever been, has it ever flooded in history?
Well, I'm sure in a 62 storm, probably everything flooded. I mean, because, you know, that was the, but as you recall, Route 54, of course, did frequently flood, and there was a major reconstruction of Route 54. In fact, this site actually was used for some for storage and organization for that whole project. In fact, the state, I believe, bought some of the wetlands from this site that they redid after that project was done.
And
so the point I was trying to make was, yes, this obviously is surrounded by water, and yes, potentially with a big storm, it's going to be affected, but no differently than the entire area. And in fact, a portion of this site is actually where people would probably come to if they needed high ground. But
that's what I'm curious about. The yellow part, is that on that, when I was out on the property, which as far as I could go, which wasn't very far, there was a hill. Is that the hill? It looked like a
hill up to your right.
When you drive in, it was right, yeah.
Or a high point.
Right there, it looked like, well, I looked like the mound systems that people have in there.
For all I know, it's all the spoils from all the
dredging
and all the canals that were done and all those developments. And I don't know what that is, but yeah.
That's what
you kind of go, boy, that's pretty high there.
Yeah, because it's an obvious little
yeah, it's
up there, so.
I drove all the way to the very back, and it the road actually got better as you went back in further.
I drove to the no trespassing sign.
Me too.
Okay, maybe I'm getting confused on another tack. Kate Fleming wrote that maybe there aren't endangered species there, but she hasn't actually sent anybody there. But you're saying that that there are no endangered species there.
Yes, Ed Linnay from Environmental Resources contacted U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and that was a verification of that. I think what Denrek was concerned with is obviously it's a very marine-oriented piece of land, and fisheries and turtles and potential things that could happen. But again, we're not touching the wetlands. The wetlands are totally undisturbed.
Okay. Well, I'm, of course, reserving the right to ask more questions if somebody else brings something up, but otherwise, we'll move along.
Sherlock, is there anything else?
No, is anybody else going to, are you the only spokesperson?
Yeah, unless you have questions.
Does any of your folks know about what the like elevation is
yep.
out there, or where you're going to build? If you're at a 10, if the highest point's at a 10, where do you think the first floor is going to be?
Jim, can you address it?
Jim Willie with GMB. The planned low point in the roads is the elevation 4.5, which would be just, you mentioned the AE5 elevation, so the roads would be slightly below the 100-year flood. We'll have
the roads
1 to 2% slope from the roads up to the homes. And then with the piling, we plan to have parking under. So the general idea would be that living space would be elevation 12 to 14. That's, would vary from site to site, but generally that's
so and Route 54 is going to be, I'm assuming that's around a 4 as well up at places, and maybe lower, maybe since they've raised it, it's a little bit higher. So I guess I'm just trying to picture in my mind, in order for those first floors to be flooded, you could have almost flooded a tractor trailer out on 54 at the same time. But if a tractor trailer's on 54 and it's flooded, then it's going to get to the first floor.
Well, if the first floors were flooded at 12 feet, the entire eastern Sussex County would be flooded.
Okay.
But it sort of really doesn't matter that much, because, like I said, the FEMA maps are going to drive
You have to have a farm to get insurance and to get a mortgage.
Yeah, where and how they're going to build.
Okay.
It's not a voluntary thing. If someone gets a mortgage, they have to have it.
And we don't have any really control over it, I mean, because it's set by FEMA.
And it is no different than any other development that's in a flood zone.
I don't think I have any other questions.
Okay. Staff on this end, anybody?
No questions, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Cuomo?
None, thank you.
Counselor?
None, thanks, none at this time.
All right then. Thank you, Mr. Fuqua. If you would take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-18 Cannon property? In favor?
I'm sure I'm in favor. This has some concerns.
Well, come on up and talk to us.
Good evening. Thank you all for your time tonight. My name's Jerome Needon. I'm a resident of Fenwick Landing Condos.
Okay.
And the mound was the soil that they took when they reclaimed and did the work out there. That was the dirt from that. I just have some concerns with the development as far as the safety. People, right now, there's no sidewalks in the whole community. When it was initially built, there was land for the sidewalks, but they were never put in. So my concerns are mostly safety. No problems with development, that type of thing. Right now, pedestrians and vehicles share the roads, going back to the restaurants and everything. So there's parking on the roads, and there's a lot of people in a hurry to get back to the restaurant, and it's not a good prescription long term. So I would suggest that you consider having sidewalks put throughout the neighborhood so the new neighbors can walk down to the restaurants and marinas safely with their children and grandchildren. My second concern was with the light. I know it's not necessarily going to go in right now, but there's a parcel of land
There
was any plans for that to be changed from what it is now to commercial zone for a restaurant, those type of things. And if that does happen, we definitely would need a light by then.
Okay. Well, that property is not part of this public hearing, so we really don't know what the disposition is, and it really isn't.
Okay, I just wanted to bring it up because it you know, it's part of its concern.
Yeah.
My last question is, what's happened to the property of the old road? The road that's there now.
Thank you very much. Wait, Mr. Dean, let me ask you, let me just make sure I'm clear on something. Well, you were talking about sidewalks needed.
There's no sidewalks anywhere in the neighborhood. So right now, people are coming in, I'm sorry, anywhere to coming in, not talking about their neighborhood. They're going to be in our neighborhood too. They're going to be our new neighbors. They'll be walking probably down to the restaurant unless they want to drive.
Like you're talking about Route 54.
I'm talking about anywhere.
The whole way,
anywhere
general neighborhood. Yeah.
There's no sidewalks.
Okay, because
right
that's what I was trying to figure out. If you were saying that you wanted sidewalks because on Bennett Road.
On all the roads really need sidewalks, okay? So the vendors are coming in, and this restaurants are successful. I have no problems with that. But now you have commercial vehicles every day. You have all the people coming back there. And I just ask you to take consideration that sooner or later somebody's going to get hurt because vehicles and pedestrians really don't belong on the same street at the same time. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2018-18? Yes, sir, come on up.
My name is Fred Pioggia. I'm the president of Fenwick Landing Townhouse Condominium Association. I have more concerns. I'm an architect, a developer, a builder, and I was commissioner in my local thing, so I know I'm on both sides of what you go through. I do appreciate what you guys do. It's okay. People don't appreciate what you do, but my initial concerns are, and I'm not against development, okay, however, I did not see anything about a traffic study. That's a major issue, and during the summer days we can't get out on 54. Even if we have a light there, it's literally backed up for miles. I mean, if you get out in the light, we're going to go out into the traffic. So that's one of my biggest concerns, and I read in this form August 20th that there's a section 22221 that the vehicle trips are 500, and he's proposing 700. So we're adding an extreme amount of traffic into our neighborhood. I said, we cannot make a left-hand turn. Whether you have a light, we'll get out there, and the traffic stops. When I go golfing, I start at a tweeter. It takes me 45 minutes to get to my house, okay? So I don't remember anything about a traffic study. I mean, that's going to really emphasize what it is that we know already. The other thing was, in this from the state, level 4 was not supported, which if the state's not supporting this development, how can you approve the development? I question the fact that an environmental study is very, very complex. Is there a study for the Bosch flag, the turtle? I mean, we go through this all the time when we do little developments. It's a pain, but you got to do it because of the environmental thing. We have 26 townhouses, two single families, and two restaurants. During the day, we can't get on 54. During the evening, just about get on 54. There's a lot of traffic without their development. If they can address somehow, some way, they can do that. I don't know how to do that. But you just can't add 700 more back and forth vehicles till we already have a problem. I do appreciate the fact that you have a right lane and a left lane. That's really good. I don't know of any development that I've come across where there's no elevations. You have to have elevations. And you don't address it as you're building a house. You have to have elevations throughout the whole development. I don't know why you don't have that.
Well, we have to have elevations to build. You know, we don't really need elevations to decide whether or not that subdivision should happen. And that's kind of the stage we're at right now. Okay. I can understand why they don't.
But you're going to have them.
No, absolutely, they're going to have them. Yeah, and there's going to be.
Yeah, you can't get approval without them.
Okay.
Yeah. The topo is required. Just to be clear on the topo is required. And then as they build, in addition to the flood issues we're talking about, they're going to have to do grading and elevations across the whole site.
So do you have we call it an impact statement study. It's comprised of traffic, environmental. It's a whole conglomerate of what's going to happen in this community by doing this. I mean, you have a major problems with all development west of 54, our development. This traffic is unbelievable. You just can't picture. It takes me 40 minutes to go a mile and a half during the summer times. And this is not going to help. One other thing was on Bennett Avenue, we have parking right now. The restaurant employees park on Bennett Avenue. And I don't know how safety vehicles can maneuver around Bennett Avenue onto Madison Avenue to get to any problems that they may incur. One of the things we wanted to request, like at the intersection of Bennett and Madison, there had to be some sort of stop sign, maybe a three-way stop sign. That's probably not at this level right now, but I appreciate if you could approach that. I really question the environmental and the traffic and the impact. It's really going to impact the thing. And I'm not, I am pro development. I've done development, so but you have to address the concerns of other people that live there all the time. And I do appreciate your time and the effort. I really thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask Mr. Fuqua or his team a question?
I was going to, too, but go ahead.
Yeah,
you go first.
Not, no.
Not me?
In light of your question.
You can stay up here. Look.
Thank you.
I'll go first. This is, I think, an easy one. Mr. Fuqua, you may not know the answer to this, but somebody does. Bennett and Madison, are they state roads at this point or private? Do we know?
Bennett's a state road.
No, yeah, Bennett is a private right-of-way owned by the county.
Your name is,
Josh Mastrangelo, Carl Freeman.
Okay.
Bennett Avenue is actually private property.
Okay.
And those 26 townhouses, two single families, and three restaurants currently do not have access to a public road. So they all dump onto that private right-of-way that is on the county's property.
Okay. Is Madison, so that's a private road too within those townhouses, I guess?
Yeah, Madison is across the street. Also, I think, you know, there's a ton of traffic conflicts because Bennett and Madison are misaligned. So if you have opposing traffic movements, you're offset from each other. What we're proposing to do is to align them across from each other so that you eliminate those conflicts, which certainly will help with getting in and out of the site safely.
I was talking about the Madison Avenue that the gentleman was talking about up top, like that runs, I guess, behind sort of Papa Grande's there. Because I realize that, yeah, there's Madison Avenue and Monroe on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
My question, because he had a question about the stop sign, and I didn't know if that was something.
Madison is the road that basically serves the townhouses.
It's a right. subdivision road for yeah. what was okay. an original residential subdivision that a condo got built over top of and then a commercial okay. development happened.
So it's private.
But yeah. This question of a stop sign, if that's something yeah. that makes sense, then it's certainly not.
Well, that was kind of where I was getting to, whether it was going to be requiring an act of Congress
and again,
through DelDOT, or if you could just do it.
Whether yeah. it's needed or not. And I do want to mention the other thing is that the internal sidewalk system from our development will come out, Bennett, to tie into that road frontage walkway.
Okay.
So there will be sidewalk coming out to 54, but obviously we can't do anything on other people's property.
So, right.
So what are you planning to do? Okay, I didn't know. When I was there, there weren't a lot of restaurant employees there yet. So they're parking on Bennett? Are you?
In Madison.
Is there anything, I mean, when you build, say, no, if you were to build there, say, sorry, we can't do that anymore. We got people coming and going now? Or?
Yeah, because it's going to be gated.
There's a parking lot adjacent to the existing, you know, Bennett right away where the pink is, you know, and we assume that that's parking for the commercial area. We don't know, we don't own it, you know, it's adjacent property, you know, and that portion of Madison, like Mr. Fuqua said, that's part of their subdivision that they share with the commercial properties.
I will add, when I rode down there, it's not real well organized, mm-hmm. the businesses.
I will give you that.
The parking lots kind of flow into each other, and there's no kind of like designated roadway. It is a bit disorganized. So, if anything, I think this would help getting the road straightened out and the light if DelDOT will do it.
I know that Zen Spa, Papa Grande's, and all, they all use that parking lot right there in front.
Right off of Bennett. But anyway, as I said, we're going to have sidewalk coming out from the development out to Route 54, so at least that'll be an improvement for that part. But again, internally on those businesses, we don't have any control over any of that.
Any other questions, Ms. Stevenson?
For
the benefit of the public and responding to the gentleman's inquiry, would you explain again the situation with the traffic impact study and how that...
The county basically has an agreement with DelDOT that all traffic issues are dealt with by DelDOT because they have the expertise to do that. So again, the DelDOT has a manual that are the rules for DelDOT that equally apply to everyone, so that no one is singled out to be treated differently than anybody else. So they have certain criteria that if you generate so many trips, based on whether it's commercial or residential or what any other use, that determines when a traffic impact study is kicked in. And as you know from experience, 70 lots does not generate the traffic that would require a traffic impact study. And a traffic impact study can be narrow, it can be broad. They could send you out to study 20 intersections where they could just be one or two intersections. But again, in this situation, it was not warranted, and so we didn't have to do that. There's a second thing called a TOA, which is the traffic operational analysis. That's geared toward a specific intersection, namely your entrance. So in this case, rather obviously, with having Bennett Road being on an angle and creating this new development, increasing traffic in addition to existing commercial traffic, they required a TOA. So that was done by our traffic engineers and submitted to DelDOT. DelDOT has the final say on this. And again, the road improvements that I mentioned were determined to be recommended by the TOA, and our TOA recommended a traffic light, and we want a traffic light there. And as I said, the applicant will pay for the traffic light, but only DelDOT can say okay to that. So, again, it's all we can do, and I think, that's quite a bit.
Okay. One more question, Mr. Hudson.
The traffic alignment where you take the road and bend it around where it comes into and meets the other road, is that something DelDOT wanted, or is that something you did?
Again, we did the traffic operational analysis, and that determined that was recommended, that it was safer. And then there'll be turn lanes also and things of that nature. But no, that was straight from the TOA.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Thigpen. Okay, who's next? Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
My name's Tony Mylan from Edgewater Acres. Now you get to hear from the other side of 54.
Okay.
And I certainly appreciate...
Sir, I'm going to ask you to direct your comments to the commission, please.
I certainly appreciate the fact that they're willing, that the builder is willing to put a traffic light there. Mm-hmm. It only makes sense. You heard the other man speak a few minutes ago about how difficult it is to get in and out of either side. It doesn't matter whether you're on the Bennett's side or on the Edgewater side. The other question I have, and I know that you may not know this answer, but he may. Okay. You did a traffic analysis, he said. Can you tell me when that was done?
Yeah, we can find that out for you.
Because I can tell you, the one they did for Royal Farms on 54 was done in February of 16.
Okay, well...
That doesn't make any sense at all.
There's a method to the way they do that, and I'll ask them to explain that when they're done.
Right? Okay.
Because it's not... There are adjustments made for whenever they do it, because they understand that the seasonality of it, the DelDOT has rules for that, too. Go ahead.
Well, they got... DelDOT has a lot of strange rules, too.
It looks like it was started in August.
I was going to say, they've got August 5th, August 1st.
Of this year?
2017.
That's when the counts were done, it looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's when the counts were done.
Counts were done.
August 5th and 1st. So
okay,
that
well, at least they were done in the prime time.
They were done. Okay. And they were done at, you know, 10 a.m. all the way through the day. So 9 a.m. So they've got peak hours and non-peak hours and nighttime hours, 6 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. on this page. I'm sorry, till 6 p.m. on this page. So
it looks like they picked weekdays and Saturdays in August. So okay. Early Saturdays too, when still
well, that makes peak. Sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. But I can't recall your name.
Jim
Fuquay. I would certainly encourage him, along with a lot of other people that are sitting back here tonight, to push as hard as you can for DelDOT to approve that light at that intersection.
When you get home this evening, you should call your state representative and your state senator back. Probably wait till about 11 o'clock. Well, they'll remember you then. If you do that, they'll remember.
Look, I know Ron real well.
Well,
so.
You give Ron a call. Tell him I said to call.
Okay. All right, I will. Okay. Thank you very much.
Who else would like to speak in opposition? Going once. There we go.
Hello, good evening, and thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Susan Hall. I also live in Fenwick Landing Townhouse Condominiums, and I'm in Unit 21. I know the Cannons. I remember them fondly, and I know how much she wanted her property left in the Wildlife Preservation Trust. It is my concern that since when I originally moved in, there was only one restaurant, Catch 54, and there was a lovely antique store there, and now they've taken a lot of the buildings down and put parking lots in for two high-density restaurants that do very well there. Also, I'm concerned because 54 is our evacuation route, and we've seen so much growth upon that route that I don't know what I would do if I needed to get out in an emergency. So I do really hope that we can get some kind of a turning from Bennett onto Monroe, I guess, with a light or something to help. There have been so many accidents at this corner. I've witnessed them. I've taken pictures on my phone of them. People have been hurt. Cars have been totally demolished. And I'm always worried about children and dogs and cats and, you know, in addition to all our other wonderful blue herons and everything else. So I'd also like to be a good neighbor to a new community coming in, but I would like to see the privacy of our docks and boat slips which are small but on the water preserved, and if there would be a sidewalk ending at Route 54, could we request, because I think the original site plans had a sidewalk that went by the now spa, the parking lot area, the now spa, to Papa Grande's, and then to the restaurant at the end and the water sports arena there. So I just am kind of wondering, because we've also been told that the 70 house community is going to be phase one, and that there was going to be a phase two and a phase three, but of course we're not going to discuss that tonight. So that would also add to the density to our evacuation route. So thank you for hearing me.
You're welcome, but I think we might discuss that. Fuquay, you aware of any plans or for a phase two or a phase three on this same property?
Unless you start permitting building on wetlands, no, there's no land. I mean, we're using the uplands. Now, to be clear, as I mentioned in the beginning, there are 2 acres in the front that are not part of the subdivision,
right,
which eventually will be developed in some fashion, but there's no plans for that yet.
Okay. All right, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions? Any further questions? Anyone? All right then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.